Oi, you know what time it is? You're tuned in listening to Draw That Aussie Metal Guy. Make sure to hit that like and subscribe button so you don't miss any of his content when it drops. And remember, stay brutal, you mad dogs.
Hey, hey, how are you all going? It's Jai, that Aussie metal guy here with Crank.com and with Cranium Radio. So today, tonight, wherever you are in the world, it's a great, great pleasure that I'm getting to have a chat with Priest from Synthwave Band. Absolutely unreal, really, really enjoying your music. I've been into Priest for a little while since you made that transition over.
Thank you.
You're on the road at the moment. How are things going? You're actually over in the US, aren't you, at the moment? Was it the US or are you still in Sweden?
Oh, we're over in the US, and thank you, Jay, for having us, having me on your show here. Yeah, that's correct. We're in the US. We're going to do a show in Anaheim, California tonight. And this will be our seventh show on a tour that we're doing with Julian Kay and September Morning called the Neon Chronicles Tour,
nice.
Which we are currently co-headlining with Julian Kay. And yeah, it's a nice here in California. Where are you at right now? In UK or?
I'm down in Australia. I've got a little photo.
Australia. Oh,
yeah,
sorry.
All the way in the land down under, my friend.
Oh, wow, yeah. Right.
And we have a little picture for everyone there that, of the
awesome
tour poster as well. That looks like an unreal tour, man. How's that all going? Julian Kay, it's unreal seeing some of the stuff he's bringing out lately as well.
Yeah, it's great being around with the guys. They're good to tour with, and everybody put on a really good show every night. So we really have to step it up. Great turnups. The crowd in the US are always really great. Can't wait to come down to Australia sometime too. That would be. I've been there with another band 10 years ago, but I would love to come back sometime.
It'd be
hopefully
unreal.
Soon.
It would be unreal to have you guys down under as well.
Yeah, it would be awesome.
The Synthwave has just been going unreal, man. Tell us a little bit about the transition over to Priest and the Synthwave, man, because it's unreal. I'm loving all this material, man. And it was good to dive into some of the other stuff again that I hadn't listened to for a while. And then the first single off the forthcoming Dark Pulse, Burning Love, I was full dancing around in the house. This big tattooed metalhead just kind of dancing around, man. Uh-huh. Absolutely unreal.
Thank you, man. Yeah, it's of course you have some similarities. We're an electronic band. We still have the riff mentality, so you can hear riffs in there, but maybe they are made with synthesizers instead of guitars. Of course, having a metal band full on with drums, guitar amps, and everything, it's a lot of a bigger logistical endeavor than a synth band if you don't bring your every synthesizer you have at home. But you can slim it down and make it a little bit easier on the road if you only go with electronic instruments and equipment, which is good for your wallet when you're starting out a band, when you maybe not have the big budget that you need if you're gonna take a bigger band out on the road directly. So that said, we also had a dream after the other band, which was a metal band. I guess you're referring to Ghost. We also had an unfulfilled dream of having an electronic synth band. And when not being in Ghost anymore and not wanting the party to stop, you know, you want to continue with your next project, it was like a good time to pick that old dream up and create Priest, which also have been under construction during the time in Ghost as well, because the idea was already there since like 2011 or something to have this band called Priest, which doing a electronic band. So we just got more time to actually fulfill that project and to start it out. And now we're here 7 years later into Priest, and we're having a blast. And we didn't know that we would come over to the US and tour, and so it went. They've gone really well, and we're very happy about the situation right now. And we have a new album, as you said, called Dark Pulse, coming out on May 31st. So make sure to check it out. There we have. Oh, you're prepared, Jay. You're prepared.
I'm prepared, mate. That's the cover image for it. I love the themes and the artwork with Priest. For one, it would have been a really cathartic process, I suppose, starting this project and doing something that you've had from the heart for a while and kind of bringing it out, but also seeing the response to
Yeah.
Priest. You've not only got all us metalheads that get into it, but you're able to bring over a different audience as well.
Yeah, I think we got the best of both worlds. We still wanted to have one feet left in the metal audience that we have from Ghost, and we don't want to make them disappointed, since we love metal as well. But this is another project, and we also gained another audience, the goth industrial audience, which some people actually don't know the Ghost connection. So came into Priest not knowing the connection from the former band. So that's also really nice. So it's, our audience is about 50-50, maybe people from the Ghost camp, but also completely new people just from the industrial goth scene. So yeah, that's our thinking, that we can mix it up and make it available for a broader audience. And we're working on it. We're an independent band. We have our own record label. So, of course, we can't build up our project as fast as if you were on a major label and have a lot of budget behind you, you know. So, but still, we have the control ourselves, and we can take all the decisions ourselves, basically. So, with that said, we try to build it slow, and to make stuff that have a high quality,
yep,
high quality on the music, high quality on the album art, which you mentioned, and just to do as good as we can with those means we have. So we're very happy at the moment with how everything turned out. So.
Yeah, definitely. Is it important to you, Mercury, to have control of the image and Priest? You know what I mean? I know it's a lot of hard work, but it's also like you do have that ownership as well, and you're not beholden to the labels, I suppose, and what you're releasing, because it's hard work regardless of if you got a label behind you or not. These days, it's like you work your ass off making these albums. You put all this work into it, and it feels like people forget that buying and supporting albums is a big part of the scene. So you're basically just making an album, giving away it away for free. I'm 44, so I used to buy albums. I don't understand the scene these days. You're basically giving away your album for free and then hoping people support you on the back end, i.e. come to shows, or you have the hardcore fans that kind of buy albums. And I thought it was really, really cool, the connection that Priest has with the fans and the work that you guys have done. I think it was like over 20,000 you raised for the forthcoming album Dark Pulse.
We have a great support. Our fans are being very supportive. We've done some pre-orders, so we have a reliable fan base that's always going to buy the albums, which we are very grateful for. And we know there are people like you also like to collect the LPs, the vinyls, and have the artwork. As do I. I like the physical, to hold it in my hands, you know, and put it on the turntable and everything like that. So I write with you there. So. But where were I? I was a little bit distracted. A guy came into the room here. I don't remember the question right away, right now. I'm just, what was it?
I was just talking about how good it was to have the strong fan base that you have, and that crowdfunding campaign. I feel like
that was great.
Sometimes that it's kind of, I feel like the scene is kind of going this way, that if fans aren't, you know, you have your loyal fan base that are going to buy the albums, but you also have a select audience that just think listening to Spotify is supporting. So I feel like that this is going to have to be the way more and more for bands to make an album. If you want us to make another album, we need your support to do it, because it's not free to make an album. You have to.
It's definitely.
You worked with Simon for this as well. Yeah. You've got to pay for recording time. You've got to pay for the studio.
Yeah.
You've all got families you've got to go away from, you know what I mean? You've got to put food on the table as well. Just like everyone going to work on a 9-to-5, I've seen it's something that I feel if people aren't going to buy albums, it's something that bands are going to have to do more and more and more of.
Exactly. So, and also the time you put down in an album is of course it's an endeavor, it's an effort to make an album if you want to make it really good. And it costs a lot of money and you need the money up front. So a fundraiser is perfect. But also when you're launching a fundraiser, everybody that's putting in funds, almost everybody, we actually going to send, they buying something. That
basically pre-ordering an album before it comes out. I think it's a fucking...
Exactly.
I think it's a great idea. It shows interest and it's something...
Yeah.
That we as fans kind of need to do and need to understand why bands are doing this. They want a quality product. It needs to be done. I've seen some of these bigger bands that have had to call it a day because they're having struggles working out how to be able to survive, have an income, and be able to go on the road and do things that's the fans want. But they don't realize that all costs fucking money.
Yeah, it does. And if you compare it to... launching a record on a middle-sized record label, which is fine to do. Then you don't see the fundraisers, but what you get is like you get a little money in advance for the masters and everything, but then you have a deal with the record label. So when you started, the money start to come in, then it depends on how you made a deal with the label, but you surely won't own your masters to do whatever you want with, you know. So to own it yourself is a little extra work. If we do the fundraisers, we actually make the same amount or more than we would if we just got the money up front from a record label, actually. You have to be smart spending that money, you know. Yep. We're going to put it all into PR, which we already started with. So half of the money we actually earned went directly into some PR in different areas and territories of the world right now. So we're basically doing what a management or a record label doing as well, spending that money right, you know, and try to just make the maximum bang for the buck. Because we also feel like a responsibility to all the people that supported us, that we really want to show. And so they know if they put money up front for us, pre-ordering and stuff, they should know that we use the money in the best way possible to actually do exactly what we say that we going to do. And in this case, it's to launch the next record, Dark Pulse, in the best way possible.
Yeah, it's an absolutely ripping album. Tell us a little bit about your songwriting process for this one.
This one was more bass line driven, maybe. So I wrote a lot of on the computer, starting out with bass lines, mostly on this album. Some tracks are written with guitar or piano, and then starting to program them into the computer and stuff like that. So, but mostly it's me doing the skeletons of the music. Then we bring it to the studio with Simon Söderberg that you mentioned earlier, which is a great producer. He produced the first record for Ghost, among other stuff. So we have a great collaboration. And then we bring in the other musicians into the studio to give the songs their magic. Then it's a matter of trial and error and try to find the best arrangement and production for the songs. I mostly write the lyrics myself. So it's that's a more of an alone process, which I enjoy very much. I just need to close the door.
Do you take your time? We appreciate this a great deal, everybody. Mercury is actually, as we mentioned at the start of this, he is about the player show, and that kind of shows how much you love the fans and want to do the, you know, have a, you're here having a chat to me right before you're about to go on stage about the forthcoming album. Tell us about the first single, Burning Love. I did kind of mention it before. Groovy as hell, man. Yeah. Like,
thank you.
Catchy as fuck, dude.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, I love that. That started definitely out with the bass line at first. And then it was just a matter of building melodies on top of that, and just to find the right vibe going along with the lyrics. And it just came to me. The lyrics were pretty straightforward and easy to write on that one. It's a feeling we all can relate to. So, and just ask some questions about it. I always try to fill in with some maybe technological cyberpunk connection in there, like systems melting together. But of course, you can read it in many ways. So, but I'm very proud of that. It's a very simple song. It's just one chord.
Yep.
It's just one bass line through the whole thing. And I love the video made by Torbjörn Fernström, a good friend of ours, that's also actually been in the band a little bit, working with us. But he made a video. He's a very prominent visual artist in Sweden. He does the visual art for Swedish House Mafia, among others, when they do have the live shows and stuff like that. So yeah, it was a fun thing to release that single, and was a relief to actually release the first single for the forthcoming album. So I'm glad that it got as good reception as it did.
Yeah, it's probably a really nervous time for any artist when you're releasing that first single off of an album, to kind of see how it goes as well. It's like, how'd you know to go with that one? Was it,
I mean, it's getting easier, I think, but before, it's a little bit of fetus position angsty process, of course, to release something, but I think we're over the threshold of the worst, because in the beginning, when we were about to launch the whole project back in 2017, that was the day before you're going to release, standing with a mask, because you always have the risk of getting laughed at when you put on a mask, right?
Yep.
So we really prepared, and we really tried to make it as good as we could before we show the first teaser of how we would look like, and you know, the logo and everything. So that was a much more angsty process. But then when we saw the result,
from that, it was unreal.
Yeah, that was great. So after that, we got a lot more confidence. And so now we're still riding on that. And I think we went through some changes the last couple of years. And now we are in a really good place. Again, it was a struggle for us to get back on our feet after the pandemic and everything. But now, a couple of years after, we really feel that we have a faith in our future, and we have a lot more. We have the new album coming out, but we still have a lot more that we want to show and give to our fans and our new audience that we're gaining right now. So we still have many years of creativity ahead of us, and we're very excited about the future.
Oh, most definitely. Very excited about the future indeed. Just a Game, latest single, another killer track there, mate. Tell us all about one.
That's harkens back a little bit to the 80s, EBM, you know, from 242, Nights or Ebb style, especially in the bass line. You can hear that. And it's maybe about taking that genre and make it a little more playful. There's a little early 90s rave elements in there. Yep. And of course, the lyrics are a bit playing with the future of sex, maybe, you know, how you do it in a virtual way instead of the natural way, so to speak. A little bit like Demolition Man, you know, when Sandra Bullock and Sly Stallone sits and puts stuff on their head. And yeah, a little play with that. And of course, Ready Player One, Ready Player Two. So, and it's a little play. It's a playful song, but I'm very proud of it. I think sometimes it's in the simplest of songs you make, that's probably where you have most of the gold in the end. So it was more of a stream of consciousness song to write. And we have just a lot of fun in the process and experimenting a little bit on it. So thank you. Very proud of that. And it also got a very good reception. And it's a banger. It's so fun to play it live. So we're going to play it live every night on this tour for sure.
Well, that'd be fun too, like being able to kind of play some of these tracks that are coming off the forthcoming album and kind of testing the reaction as well, because you don't ever, I suppose, play tracks exactly the way they're going to be on the album live as well. So you kind of mix it up, I suppose, and have a little fun with it, yeah?
Of course, yeah. We mix, we have live synths, so we can make it a bit different. Some people who don't know how it works live, we don't just push a button and the music comes out. We actually have real instruments which we actually play, and we send stuff from the computer into real hardware and then out to the mixing desks. So, of course, we want to have everything. We want to have a big synth park if we can, but when we're touring, we have to slim it down a little bit and rely a little bit on computers as well. But in the future, we probably will have only hardware and no computer on stage. That's a goal we have, and we're halfway there now. So, but it's always fun to modify and try new songs on an audience and see the reactions. And we're trying some of the album tracks also from Dark Pulse live. So we're gonna have a release party in Sweden. Actually, I don't know if any listeners who listens to you are from Sweden, but if you are, the 17th of May is gonna be a release party in Linköping.
So that's my birthday too. That's awesome, Dave. Oh. Perfect bloody day there, my friend. And Crank, we actually started the webzine I write for, was actually started with a friend of mine who is from Sweden. Him and a guy I went to school with, a Swedish guy, actually co-runs the webzine I write for.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Say hi from us.
I will.
That's a coincidence. Yeah.
Exactly. Perfect day for your launch party there. There's some good stuff coming out on May 17th. This would have to be the best one as well.
Yeah.
I won't chew up too much more of your time, my friend. There's some dates at the moment.
Yeah, check it out. If you are in the area of some of those dates, make sure the tickets run out fast. So make sure to grab your tickets. You will find them on our website, priestnexus.com. There's a section where you can find the tour dates there also, and direct links to the tickets. So make sure to grab one or two before they run out, because we had some sold out gigs already.
Oh, yeah,
and
definitely.
They're going fast. Yeah, so thank you. And
that's the go, Mercury. I think people need to kind of get along to these shows and support them early as well. I know we have this problem over in Australia since COVID, that we've got every band is traveling everywhere at the moment, and we've got all these big bands, but it's important to get along to these shows and buy the tickets early and support these shows as well, because I've seen other bands that have had to pull the plug because tickets weren't selling. So people, get along, buy these tickets, support these shows, and support the artists you love. Like, go put in a pre-order for Dark Pulse.
Yeah, please do. And if you're coming out to the shows, it's going to be a high-octane show from our end. Julian K is going to kill it on stage. September Morning always do a perfect job every night. So it's sad to miss out on this one. And of course, as you say, Jay, you can pre-order our album almost everywhere now. So you can pre-order it on Amazon or, you know, your local record store. You can ask them to take it in. Also, we have worldwide distribution from our record label. So it will be pretty much everywhere on the 31st of May, but it's still for pre-order. And make sure to check it out. It's a killer album. It's a futuristic dystopian, a little bit flamboyant, dark electronic album made for the dance floor or for home listening in your hi-fi stereo equipment.
That's it, your dance floor at home. That's where I'll be dancing out the Dark Pulse as well. Mercury, thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Do you have any last words, shout-outs, thank yous, or anything else you'd like to add in there, my friend?
I would like to thank you, Jay, and I would also like to thank all our fans. And as I repeated a lot already, the new album Dark Pulse will be out the 31st of May. We have all information on our website, priestnexus.com. We also have a web shop, airgool.com. We have some goodies for you right there, so make sure to check that out as well. I'm Mercury from Priest, and I'm very happy to be with you here.
That's it. Thank you very much, Mercury. Have an awesome Thank show. You. Everybody grab some Priest, put it in the stereos, crank it up really bloody loud. The neighbors are going to dance to it as well. Cheers, mate.
Thank you.